God delights in honest people. For many years I did not understand what 1 John 1:7 meant when he said walk in the light. But the promise is fantastic if you understand what it means to walk in the light. 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light, as God is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. To have fellowship with God is the most wonderful thing in the universe. But there's only one condition. To walk in the light as He Himself is in the light. And initially when I read it, I said, how in the world can I live in God's light? His light is so holy and so pure. Do I need to understand all that before I can have fellowship with God? That will take me a lifetime. But I want to have fellowship from day one. That's how I'll grow. I can't grow if I don't have fellowship with God. And then I realized that to walk in the light means to be 100% honest. That's all. And that even a prostitute can be 100% honest. Come to the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm a prostitute. Save me. That's honesty. That's all God requires. Throughout your life, be 100% honest. That's walking in the light as He's in the light. That made life so simple for me. He's not asking me to be holy. If He asks me to be holy, I say, Lord, impossible. The Lord says, I'll make you holy if you're honest. And I've striven with all my heart for one thing. To be absolutely honest before God in my life. I don't want to cover up an unclean thought. They're saying, oh, no, Lord, I was just admiring beauty. Rubbish. You were lusting. Don't call lusting admiring beauty. You have that type of hypocrisy and dishonesty, I'll tell you, you will never have fellowship with God. And that's what's happened with many brothers in their past life. They've never grown. I believe you could have grown much more in your Christian life by today. If you are determined that you're going to be ruthlessly honest, that's the word I use, ruthless. Be honest with yourself. You know, ruthless is a hard word that criminals are ruthless towards their ones they want to harm. Torturers are ruthless when they torture somebody. I want to be ruthless towards myself, towards the dishonesty that I've inherited from Adam. You know, Adam sinned and went and hid in the tree, and then when God asked him what happened, he blamed his wife. Dishonesty! And you and I have got that poison in our system. Dishonesty. Even when you're wrong, you'll blame your wife to find something, even though the fault was yours. I want to be ruthlessly honest with myself, and it has helped me tremendously in my life to have fellowship with God. That's the only condition. It's an easy condition. He's not asking you to be a great height. He's just, as I told you, even if you're prostitute, you can be honest. What was it that saved one thief and sent one thief to heaven, another thief to hell at the cross? You know what it was? Not holiness. Honesty. One thief said, why don't you bring us down from the cross? What he meant was, only the worst criminals are crucified. I don't deserve to be crucified. I'm not such a bad criminal. So bring us down from the cross. I mean, I don't mind spending 10 years in prison or something, but not crucifixion. I'm not so bad. That's what he meant. He went to hell. The other thief said, I deserve this. If he could raise his hand, he would have said, I deserve this. I'm the worst of the lot. I don't deserve 10 years in prison. I deserve the worst. I deserve to be hanged, crucified. I don't deserve anything but hell. But Lord, have mercy on me. And Jesus said, today, you're going to walk with me in paradise. Did he go and set everything right with all the people he had made widows by killing their husbands? The children he had made fatherless by killing their fathers? Did he go and set it right with them? No, he had no chance. If you have no chance to set something right, God is merciful. If you have no money to repay the debts you owe and you die like that, God is merciful, but if you have the money and you don't repay, that's another thing. God is so merciful. The only qualification he had was ruthless honesty. I deserve this. Jesus said, today, imagine a few hours after that, he was on his way to hell at the last minute. His life was changed. And where is he today? He's in heaven with Jesus. I'm looking forward to meet him when I get there. I say, brother, you've been a great example to me, even though you never knew me and I never met you. But your story helped me so much that all that God requires from me is honesty. And I want to be ruthlessly honest throughout my life. And I want to say that don't ever call sin a mistake. You know, there's a group of Christians, I don't know whether you know of them, who preach entire sanctification. That means God does a work in you and your whole being is entirely sanctified, and after that you don't sin. And believe it or not, there are it was a twist of the doctrine that John Wesley preached. I mean, John Wesley didn't preach that, but people through the years, you know, twist it, and I've met people like that in India, missionaries and others who taught Indians that, and those Indians would live in sin and think they were free from it. And the great, I try to find out, what do these people do when they do fall into sin? They call it a mistake. Aha. So I tell them, unfortunately, the blood of Christ does not cleanse mistakes. So you have to live with that. You'll go to hell. The blood of Christ only cleanses sin. If you call something a mistake, let me tell you in Jesus' name, you will never be cleansed from it, in time or in eternity. Do you call something a mistake, which was a sin? Well, let me tell you, that was never cleansed, never forgiven. It's still hanging on your head. Call it a sin and turn from it, and you'll be forgiven immediately. There's a pride in us, especially in conflicts with our wife or something, there's a tension, and you knew you did something wrong, and you say, well, darling, it was a mistake. It was not a mistake. It was a sin. God requires ruthless honesty. That's a great lesson that I learned in my life, which is, it's the first thing that God wanted. You know, it says in Proverbs 28 and verse 13, turn with me to that verse. Proverbs in chapter 28. He who conceals his transgression will not prosper. But he who confesses it as a sin and forsakes it, he'll find mercy from God. How do I conceal my transgression? By calling it by some other name. I can hide it. That's one way of concealing it. The other is by calling it by some other decent name. Mistake is a decent name. Sin is a terrible name. But the blood of Jesus only cleanses sin. God loves honest people. That's what it means to walk in the light. And I'll tell you something. A lot of people who come to churches are turned away, especially young people who are sincerely coming to church, are turned away by the hypocrisy that they see in older people who've been in that church for a long time. We're not straightforward. We're not upright. We're not honest about their failure. Have you ever acknowledged your fault? Let me ask you, test yourself. Have you ever acknowledged your fault to someone very much younger than you? I have. I've asked forgiveness from people who are younger than my youngest son. I'll give you an example. I'll still do it today. I'm ready to ask forgiveness from little children. Because if I do something wrong, it's wrong. It's a sin. I will not call it a mistake. I remember many years ago in our church, in a Sunday meeting, there was something went disruptive with the recording. And somebody told me it was because the one young brother who was handling the recording messed up something carelessly. So I went and corrected him. Because I say, people have to hear this and we can't afford to lose these things. Then afterwards somebody told me, Brother Zach, it was not him. It was somebody else. Can you imagine how bad I felt? I went immediately to that brother. I put my arm around him and said, "Brother, I'm really sorry. Please forgive me. I'm so sorry that without investigating, I just went straight away because somebody told me, you messed it up. Please forgive me." And of course, he forgave me. I'm very happy. But I didn't go to him with a sort of, well, it's unfortunate that happened, but I heard somebody else also was involved in it, so it's okay. I could have said it like that. How would you say it if you had to speak? And that chap was, 40 years younger than me? How would you speak to someone very much younger than you if you know you made a blunder? How do you confess sin to your wife? Do you wonder why you don't make spiritual progress? Do you wonder why you are not filled with the Holy Spirit? Do you wonder why God is not near you, making you an overcomer? Perhaps some of these reasons. Okay, many young people are turned away from churches because they see this unreality in older people. And older people who act perfect, and those young people can see through them that they are far from perfect. Honesty, love it. Walk in the light. Very simple definition. If we are honest, He will cleanse us from all our sin. That's how I read 1 John 1:7. All my sin, I live my life free from sin every day. Cleansed all the time. Not because I'm perfect, but because I'm honest. I want to keep that honesty, ruthless honesty, all my life.